Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you an overview of everything that happened in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. So, spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and nerd movies, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun. Explicit content warning. Material may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages, so you've been warned. What up, what up, what up, my nerdy peeps?
Hello.
Hey, friend.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Well, that's good. That's pretty good.
Sick.
So, in this podcast, we will be talking about the new Wonder Woman film, because, you know, we watched that. So, it's time to review it. And, you know, Scott now has a new microphone, so, you know, he won't be much quieter than me. On his mic.
Sick.
Yeah. So, we've just been, you know, relaxing today. Scott's been playing Overwatch on his new PC.
Yes, sir. Finally built a PC after wanting to do so for a very long time now. Finally have the means to be able to do something like that. So, it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So, I'm playing Overwatch now, and I'm playing League of Legends, of course. I mean, it's pretty much a staple for all computer gamers nowadays. What else am I playing? Oh, yeah, Players Unknown Battleground. It's like the new version of H1Z1, if you guys are familiar with that. It is pretty much a battle royale kind of game where you just go and collect your guns and, you know, supplies or whatever, and you have to try to be the last one standing. It is quite awesome.
All right, then.
But, yeah, that's all new for me.
Yeah, I've been working on my cosplay because we're going to Wizard World next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be cool. Hopefully I'm done in time. it's a learning curve here. So, just been working on that. And we do apologize for not podcasting last week. It was just a busy weekend of running around and getting things done on our cars and...
Christian apologizes.
Seeing
you speak
Wonder
for yourself.
Woman. All right.
I'm just kidding.
So, in addition to this podcast, we will be doing a regular podcast where we'll talk about two episodes of Gotham, including the finale, which was on this past week, with all our news and everything. But today, we're here to talk about Wonder Woman.
And in addition to that additional podcast, we have another podcast revisiting our movie list because we came up with a new system of grading and a cool little algorithm. And it, you know, crunches some numbers and gives us how we really feel about everything.
Yeah. It's a pretty good algorithm if
can't
I do
wait
say
to,
so myself.
Can't wait to talk about that. Hashtag Russian hackers.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. So... Wonder Woman, what did you think of this movie?
I think it was absolutely wonderful.
Good
it
word.
It was delightful.
Yes, great adjectives there. I like adjectives too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, this movie was pretty good for you know, when you look at what DC's given us, obviously it's far superior to that, and I don't think we ever doubted it would be. And then when you look at the movie overall compared to any real comic book movie, it's definitely up there at the top. As far as the action goes, the story, the character of Wonder Woman, I think they nailed down pretty perfectly. And especially if you look at things like BVS and Man of Steel, like how poorly represented the characters of Batman and Superman were. It's just brilliant what they were able to do with Wonder Woman, and it's kind of shocking how spot on they got her.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't really have a doubt in my mind that the movie would be really good. I actually did claim that I felt that this was going to be DC's or Warner Brothers' game-changer film, the film that is going to potentially catapult them into what will hopefully be a future of good films.
Yeah, I think I hope this film isn't a one-off. I hope it's not just the only film they do right. I hope that this will lead to further success. I do think that, you know, Joss Whedon obviously has his hands on Batgirl and things like that. I think those will, that movie will turn out well, and hopefully he can do some things with Justice League before that comes out. But you never know. I mean, Wonder Woman was a risk, I think. They could have done a bad job, but we both thought, you know, when we saw the previews and things like that, well, this movie will stand out for DC. And I think it went above and beyond that and stood out as a superhero film. So
yeah, I would have to agree with all that. I mean, honestly, I really didn't find... When I think about it, I really cannot think of anything wrong with the film in general. Like, I know you had your complaints about the CGI, but I felt I had a very different opinion of it. I thought all the CGI was done fairly well and all that. I don't think, you know, there was any mishaps or missteps on the way they CGI things and stuff. And I have the opinion, it's like, you know, obviously you had pointed out to me that CGI was created so they could make these scenes where it felt like an immersive world, and, you know, you didn't feel like you're in this fake world or whatever. And I mean, I have the different opinions, like, because I can always tell when something's CGI, because obviously, if you just think about it, obviously that didn't actually happen in an actual place. You know what I mean?
I think CGI, but done perfectly, it makes you question whether it was CGI'd or not. You know, like, I think everybody, you know, obviously we have different perspectives on it. So for me, when I see something that's so clearly CGI'd, it looks like it's clearly like an animated version of something, you know, like, to me, it throws me out of it. So, you know, it did bother me, but, you know, if you're thinking of it as, you know, something where you should be able to tell, then it wouldn't bother you as much. You're just, that's to you is just CGI. But to me, it's like, it shouldn't be that way, you know?
Well, I don't think there's anything, like, honestly, what particular thing are you talking about that was so badly done that
some of, like, the CG when they're fighting and stuff early on, like, in the film, like, I don't think it was as bad later. Like,
are you talking about, like, where they're catapulting themselves in the air and stuff like that?
I just remember certain sequences where I was like, wow, this is super clearly CGI, like the motions and like things like that, and some of it is like when they're in the air, but like other times, like when I don't know the character's name, but like the trainer Amazon, when she like came up and she shot those three arrows, like I thought that was done very well. But there are other ones where it's like, what's going on? Like, it just threw me out of it because it looks so poor to me. But I think, like, in some areas the CGI was fantastic, but in other areas it was just really poor. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I guess that's just something we just vastly disagree on when it comes to CGI in general. I think we just have different takes on CGI and all that good stuff, because I can look at any movie and probably point out when it's CGI'd and when it's not.
Yeah, but it should still look real, you know? Like, if you look at, like, films like Guardians, like, all, like, the space and the spaceships and all, it all looks really you know it's CGI'd. Like, they're not really in space, but it looks real, you know?
Not really. Not to me. Like, I can, like, oh, well, obviously this entire movie's, like, CGI'd.
Right, but it shouldn't look CGI'd. Like, the motions shouldn't look like a computer, like, cartoon almost, you know? Like, it should still look real.
I think you have just too high of expectations of what CGI should be. Like, I mean, it's supposed to paint the picture or whatever, but it's like you're just, I feel like you're just trying to find something.
Searching for things to be, you know, critical about, but to me, it threw me out of the movie. I'm not going to lie and say, oh, it was fantastic, you know, just because I want to think it's fantastic. You know, like, to me, it is a problem in some areas in this film. But obviously, you know, if we're looking for different things, it might not be most people who listen to this might disagree with me, but sure, I have high standards. I don't know.
I mean, coming from, you know, a person who's like so high on the CGI, but it's like, yeah, you're just like in love with the Star Wars films, and those are like painfully obvious CGI'd movies.
Some of it, I mean, but
all of it.
I don't think so.
Really? Yeah. Do we really need to talk about the first Star Wars, the originals?
The originals is when CGI was created, but a lot of that stuff was done with modeling and things like that, and it's been revised, and yes, Jabba the Hutt in the special editions looks awful, I agree, but... You know, and that does throw you out of the movie sometimes.
Like, I can understand, like, when you're talking about, like, CGI when it comes to things like, for instance, you know, on Legends of Tomorrow, when, like, the fucking dinosaur ran through the tree and somehow that's still there. You know, that's terrible CGI to me. That never occurred in this film to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely valid and fair. I mean, it's very possible for two people to see the same thing and have different interpretations of it, you know?
Right.
And you're not going to get me on the CGI. Some of it was just bad, but some of it was great. I don't disagree with you that there was great CGI work in this film, and I don't think Ares was bad, and I don't think, you know, a lot of it, I don't think a lot of the CG was bad. I just think that certain aspects of it and certain very specific parts of the films were poorly done.
I feel like you're choosing the wrong words. Because you can't, like, sit there and be like, it wasn't bad, but it was poorly done. It means the same thing.
In parts
thing.
Of it. No. What I'm saying, I'm not saying those parts weren't bad. I'm saying that in most of the film, the CGI wasn't bad. But in very specific areas, it was bad.
I guess, like, we'd have to watch it together, and you'd actually have to point them out to me, like, to so I can see, like, what you're seeing. Because, yeah. Like, I'm asking you for specific examples, and you're not really giving me anything.
I don't remember the specific, like, examples. I just remember, like, it throwing me out of the film in, like, the early sequences, like, when they were fighting on the beach in Themyscira. Like, I was just like, some of it, like I said, was very good. But, like, other parts just threw me out of it. I was like, it's so obviously not real. Like,
well, I mean, it's a fiction story. I don't get, like...
But even a fiction story... Like, we just disagree, I think, on that. Like, a fiction story, the brilliant part of it is it should resemble something real to you. You know, you should be able to connect with it despite it being made up. You know, like, something made up doesn't have to be superficial, and if it is, then it's not well done.
I disagree.
Like, if you're watching something, you're like, this is so clearly fake, like, it's so superficial, then it's not well done, because who's going to like something like that, you know?
Like, I don't see how you could, like, oh, yeah, the CGI in this was poor, but then you like the CGI in, like, The Flash. Where, like, I feel like, when, for instance, when they're, like, doing, like, the scenes where he's going, like, super speed and he looks super animated, I'm like,
yes.
I don't think it's, like, necessarily, like, bad. I'm just like, oh, well.
No, I'm not a fan of CGI like that either, but they have a way smaller budget than, like, a movie like this, it's almost the, like, same nothing... looking effects as in The Flash, in this, and in parts of it, it is.
No.
Yeah.
No. Come on, dude. Really?
Yeah. Like, parts of it were, like, it looked so, I don't know, like, it didn't meld well with the film, in my opinion. And maybe that's just an editing thing, too, but, yes. We're going to differ on the CGI, but to me, the CGI isn't the biggest part of this film. It's not what makes or breaks this film. So, like, it's such a small thing to argue over for so long. You know, like, I think we just disagree. And like I said, I do agree with you. For the most part, the CGI is very good. But very specific parts of this film, it threw me out of it.
But I'm asking, what parts are you talking about?
Well, rewatch the film, and I'll point them out to you. When they're fighting on the beach in Themyscira, there's a couple parts of it. Like, one of them is, like, when Hippolyta was getting off the horse. Like, it was a cool-looking effect, but it was so clearly fake. Like,
okay.
It just didn't look good, you know?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe, like, you just have,
They should have done something like what they did in Lord of the Rings, where Legolas, like, got on the horse backwards. Like, because that effect looked really good, and all they did was put it in reverse. Like, him getting off the horse in reverse. And they could have done something like that instead of something so blatantly CGI'd where it looks like it was just a cartoon character that then was a real person.
I never got that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're immersed in it, you know, and you don't really catch it, like, I don't blame you for that. Like, that's great.
If I'm
for
not
me,
a what?
Like, if you're fully immersed in the action and what's going on and you're not bothered by it, it doesn't throw you out of it or anything, that's great. But to me, it threw me out of it. Mm. And yes, I get what you're saying. I go into almost every movie like primed to be critical, and like maybe that affected, you know, maybe I was just too primed for it, and then I'm just like, oh yeah, that bothers me. But yeah, CGI to me in this film was such a small thing that like it's not worth talking too much about. But yes, I get what you're saying as a whole.
Yes.
Do you get what I'm saying?
No, okay. Not at all.
Well, yeah.
It's hard for me to get if you're not giving me other than apparently when she got off the horse.
That's the only like example that springs to mind. If I rewatch it, I have a better idea, but I've only seen it once. So, yes, it's hard to remember everything specifically. Right. So, besides the CGI, would be my biggest criticism. Do you have any real criticisms of this film?
No. I thought it was like probably one of the best movies ever made.
Ever made in like the history of all movies?
No, Jackass. Come on.
I mean,
dude,
I have to clarify. Some people.
No, not ever made.
I know what you mean, but.
Comic book movies.
Okay.
What do we talk about? Comic book movies.
Fair enough. But, you know, words do matter. Words do matter.
Fuck off.
Okay. What'd you think of Ares? You think he was wasted in this movie?
No.
I think that's a common criticism. Not one of my criticisms, but no. A lot of people think he was just kind of wasted.
Like what? He was there. He wasn't there enough.
Like
or what?
They could have put him to better use for future DC films. You know, like instead of just having him here and then gone.
No, I would disagree. I thought the way they set up the storyline for he was, you know, her imminent enemy, the one that was causing all the pain in the world, that there was no other way. Like, what is she supposed to do? Somehow cage him? How is it supposed to end? I'm confused by their criticism. I don't get this.
Do you think that he's actually quote-unquote dead, or do you think he'll show up again?
I mean, there's a strong possibility because, you know, he is a god. You know, there's a possibility that he is still alive. I mean, but that's just that's just the nature of like when you talk about comic books and stuff. Nobody's truly ever dead because, you know, the writers can just decide to adapt the story to make them alive, you know? And that's like the cool thing about, I feel like, comic books is like you can have these like crazy moments and then like there can be an event that happens later on that changes or alters that history or you know, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Ares was too wasted. I mean, yeah. I do think he was killed. I think he's dead, obviously. Like, she is the quote-unquote god killer, which wasn't the sword. But for those of you who enjoy DC Comics, you will know that there is a sword called the God Killer.
Yes.
That Deathstroke wields during the 2014 series of Deathstroke, which I talk about all the time because I think it's phenomenal. He wields it briefly. It's a big fuck off sword, so
yeah.
If you like that sort of thing, so maybe that'll show up one day in the DCEU, but who knows?
Who knows?
But we know we'll get Deathstroke in the Batman film, so maybe a connection. We also know Dr. Poison is kind of, you know, poison, you know, creating, you know, she has something to do with Bane and the Venom thing. You think we'll get Bane down the road?
See, yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because the way her poison works and the way they kind of talked about it, I thought maybe they were foreshadowing Bane sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Obviously, this film takes place during World War One. We know Bane roughly comes into existence, I don't know, probably 80s or 90s.
Well,
somewhere, probably
much further down the line.
But you think about it as like because Poison is still a young woman at this time. And then she'll have all those years to perfect it, and then somebody will call upon her services, well, sort of thing.
And essentially the drug or whatever she made for, I don't remember his name, I'm just going to call him Lindelof, because that's the name in my head. The German guy that they thought was Ares, making him strong, like the way Venom would, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it kind of had the same effect. So that was pretty interesting. Obviously, we got a lot of comedy when it came to Diana and her glasses and her outfits and Yeah, glasses can't really hide your identity, blah, blah, blah.
His name was General Ludendorff.
Yes, Ludendorff.
Sorry.
Leibowitz.
Yes.
Yeah, Ludendorff.
What did you think about Chris Pine's character, Steve Trevor?
It's interesting because I wonder how they're going to... I guess he's not really important to the DCU, maybe.
Yeah.
Because Steve Trevor is a major part of Wonder Woman's story, even in this modern day. So I wonder how that will tie in, you know, because he died. Let's just say it outright. He died in this film, and obviously, even if he didn't, it takes place so early. You know, it's like, you know, with Captain America and Peggy Carter, it works because he was in the 40s, and that's when she was, and then later on, you know, obviously she's not around, and then there's Sharon Carter. But how will they integrate Steve Trevor into the modern-day DCU? They won't, in my interpretation. He's probably just not that important to them, or they couldn't figure out how to make it work in terms of, you know, Wonder Woman in the modern world.
Well, I think they had a specific plan to introduce this character. You know, obviously in BVS, we have the picture that Batman, you know, gives to Diana, you know, and she's like, where'd you get this picture? And we don't really understand what is the significance of this picture. And that was part of the horseshit part of BVS. There's so many things you just didn't understand. But now you do understand. So you can give a little bit of appreciation now towards that photo. Because now you know the love story between her and Steve Trevor, and then the importance of the other characters like Charlie and Samir and what is his name? I'm looking for it right now. I don't know.
I think it's just those two, Charlie and Samir.
No, there's three. There's three. It was Trevor, Steve Trevor. There was Charlie the sniper. There was Samir, the guy that could talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And then there was the other guy.
Oh, Indian Chief. Chief. His name was Chief. They called him Chief.
Yes.
Chief.
Aha.
I am Chief.
That guy.
Yes. I will blow my horn or something. I don't know. Yes. Anyway.
You get the significance of those people, and it's almost basically like a side story of BVS coming from one photo, essentially.
Yes.
And if you think about it in that way, the concept is very, very cool. And, but this movie was just so, so well done. Oh, my God. It was just so good.
Yeah. I think in terms of action, it was pretty top form.
What do you think of, like, the island in general?
Themyscira?
Yeah.
I thought it looked beautiful. I thought they did a great job with the way the Amazons looked. We didn't get many names except for Hippolyta, which I say differently than the way they say. So they say Hippolyta. So, if you're confused by me,
you get Artemis. That's like,
but we don't really hear the names, you know.
Oh, yeah. That was like the black chick.
Yeah, they're credited. And I'm pretty sure the brown haired lady who was like the chief or assistant of the trainer was Big Barda. Kind of looked like her, but it maybe wasn't.
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't get many names. So, but yeah, the Amazons. I think they did a great job with the Amazons. What did you think? This will be probably your favorite part, but the theology of it.
Oh my God, I loved it. In case you guys have never listened to our podcast, I'm the one that loves theology, religion, all this good stuff. Like, this is like my cup of tea. Like, I absolutely loved it. And a lot of people were confused because, you know, in the movie they say that, what's her mother's name?
Hippolyta.
Hippolyta. Sorry, I have a hard time pronouncing it. But Hippolyta made her from clay, but then you find out that she is the daughter of Zeus and Hippolyta. Which is very well known that, like, in Greek, like, mythology, Zeus often went down and had sex with humans to basically create demigods, half human, half god.
Like Hercules.
Yes, exactly. Hercules is a demigod. And there's so many demigods in theology and stuff, and I just thought that was very cool. And, like, you know, a lot of people were like, well, she was still made from clay. I was like, well, no, probably not, because you find out Zeus is her father. So that means Hippolyta probably had sex with Zeus. I mean, you just kind of have to read between the lines. I thought that was kind of cool, because if you know anything about theology, then you kind of get that. And I was like, okay, that's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. I know you'd like the theology aspect. But yes, Themyscira is a beautiful place, but it didn't seem like it was very protected, because anybody who journeys to that part of the world will find it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Amazons are highly skilled warriors that were able to fight off, you know, the Germans. So that was okay. Oh, and let's get something out of the way. They are not Nazis, guys.
Yeah, yeah. This is World War One.
World War One was what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I just had a brain fart.
Yeah. Okay. So World War One. Yes, we know is World War One. So they're not Nazis. Hitler isn't ruling the world. He is actually, you know, fighting in World War One. Because he did. They weren't Nazis at that time. They were led by the Kaiser of Germany. So we'll hear references to the Kaiser. Not to be confused with the Tsar, who is the Russian, technically, leader. So, yes. They're not Nazis. Okay, guys? Nazis are Captain America, World War II. This predates Nazis.
Correct. Yes. So, what do you think about the love story between... Diana and
Steve.
I thought it was
well done. Like, I don't think she ever was diminished by him. I think she made him better. Yeah. And I think, you know, throughout she was so stalwart and stood for what she knew she should. And, you know, we kind of got this coming to America kind of story almost, where she's right. learning to get integrated into the world. And well, I mean, obviously they were in London, not America, and then other Nick, but whatever, you get what I'm saying. You know, she had to kind of adapt and learn about this world. And even when she was here, she fought back against the idea of, you know, of not fighting for peace, not fighting for justice, not working towards something. So,
right. And like, what'd you think about the scene where she's basically scolding the entire, generals of sorts. I don't know what they really called themselves in the movie, but when she's like, you know, basically calling them cowards, letting you know, she's like, where I come from, generals and leaders fight alongside their warriors. You cower behind your desk and give out orders.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you know, you're not leaders, you know. And I was like, wow, that was pretty powerful.
Yeah, she is, again, this is one of the things that, you know, it's very important in films like this. And we don't get it enough, but when we do, we talk about it all the time, because it's so important, is defining what a hero is, you know? And,
right.
And she's defining what that is. You know, you fight no matter what for justice, for equality, for whatever, but you don't sit there and hide behind things and try to broker a peace when obviously it's not going to work out, because, you know, not everybody's as nice as you.
Right.
So...
I think my last point that I really, really want to talk about is just Gal Gadot. How absolutely wonderful was she in this movie, from just her acting chops to, you know, her background in, you know, the military, being, you know, having the actual combat skills, you know, I feel really does show up on scene, and just to like her presence and absolute beauty.
Yeah, she was phenomenal. She was the manifestation of grace, and she had such a presence. Like, I think any other actress could have just gone really poorly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very important to... Shit, sorry. It's very important to look at how just phenomenal she was, how she conducted herself, and it just, I think it's unparalleled. And we said even before, like, she was the only redeeming part of BVS.
Yes, I do remember talking about this.
Yeah, and now that she's in her own film, in her own space, like, she might not be the smartest or the, you know, most, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but she is, like, she isn't just beautiful and all this thing. She's so much more than that, and the way she manifests that into one person is just brilliant.
I think it's a funny feeling when you can actually, like, on screen just like sit there and like feel humbled.
Yeah,
it's just like Jesus, Like, they have a weird way of making you feel like you're in the presence of a demigod in ways, you know?
Right. And at the same time, like, you know, in her performance, you get that she is this phenomenal person, but at the same time, she never makes you feel like she thinks she's better than you or, right. you know, you're less than her. It's just she wants to elevate everyone else around her instead of put them all down. And that is what makes her such a phenomenal character and hero.
Okay, so I think it's time to introduce our new grading scale, guys.
Yeah. So we talked about, you know, what we valued in grades and things like that. So we decided that story and our personal enjoyment, along with what we call authenticity, which to us is how accurately the characters are portrayed, essentially, like how mm-hmm. authentically Wonder Woman was this movie. You know, it's not so much, was it a comic book story like BVS with they try to do the Dark Knight Returns and all this stuff? Because we all know that comic book stories don't always make great movies. They have to be good adaptions as well. It's really how authentic the characters are and how authentic we feel they represent that. So,
right.
Those are the three most important. They make up 70% of our final score.
Right.
And then 30% of the score comes from action, CGI, comedy, rewatchability, and character development. So all of those we grade individually on a score of 5. And then the math does the rest.
So basically we're doing the scale 1 through 5. And just to give you pretty much the brief aspect, we're not doing point grade systems. The total score can end up in a point system, but the grades itself, so it's out of 5. So 1 being, you know, it was awful. 2 being, you know, pretty much below average. 3 is about average or what you pretty much expected from it. 4 would be like good or great or just above, you know, like above average sort of mm-hmm. thing. And 5 is like pretty much the pinnacle. Like, that was perfect. Like, and there's nothing they could have done differently to make it better.
Yeah. And we do have a 0, but 0 is pretty much non-existent.
Yeah. Like, it's like dead to me.
Yeah. Like, you know, personal BVS. Enjoyment on BVS for me would be a 0. It's just non-existent. Yeah. So, why don't you run through your scores for Wonder Woman? This is yours.
Okay, so for story, I obviously felt that it was a 5. And we even went back through the grades, you know, just to make sure that I felt that I had the right ones. And there's just nothing that I can really knock on the film, really. I thought it was a perfect story. It had, you know, a great beginning, middle, and end. What more can you really ask? And you had the awesome love story combined with, you know, tons of action. And I don't, you know, the story was just really, really good. Authenticity, 4, you know, it was really great. I wouldn't say it was perfect by any means, because obviously, goddamn, I keep forgetting his fucking name. Steve Trevor is obviously, you know, not dead. So, I mean, that's a thing. You kind of have to consider stuff like that, maybe.
Right. But the fact that he died in this film enhanced the story part of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And things like that. So, obviously, it is a give and take. But, yeah, like, this is what kind of led to Diana's, you know, losing a little faith in humanity and whatever is that. But also giving her a little bit of faith in humanity because, you know, such a great man sacrificed himself. So, you know, there's like that give and take, but she also realizes Ares isn't responsible for all the bad in the world.
Right. Personal enjoyment was a 5 for me. I couldn't be any more happy with this movie. Like I even said before, I thought it was the greatest comic book movie ever made. Action was a 4. I mean, it's just like, these are pretty small margins when you say 4 and 5. I guess it could have been a little bit better. CGI was a 4 for me. It could have been a little bit better. Comedy, this was the thing that I felt like kind of impacted maybe the most because it's the lowest score on here for me. Was a 3 because it's about what I expected because, you know, it's taking place during World War I. How much room for comedy is there? They fit it in a very manageable way where it was very well done. But I guess there could have been a little bit more. So, I mean, you know, it was pretty, you know, average. It was okay. You know, it was good.
It was good for a DC film.
Yes. So I gave it a 3. Rewatchability, obviously 5. I feel like this could be a movie when it comes out. We'll definitely buy. I'll watch it a bunch of times. And it'll be all good. But that, I mean, though, rewatchability is something that could change in the future. Because maybe when we rewatch it, we don't even enjoy it as much. And it's like, okay, I'm bored of this. Kind of thing. So maybe, you know, when we grade our rewatchability, once we actually start rewatching it, maybe we should revise it and say, hey, this wasn't as rewatchable as I thought it was. Or wait, this is more rewatchable than I thought it was.
Yeah, all of these grades are subject to revision. So
I feel that it was a very rewatchable movie, you know, because you do have so many different elements to it. Lots of action, love story, you know, decent amount of comedy to kind of offset the serious nature of it. And then character development was a 4. You have, you know, basically the sheltered Amazonian woman, you know, all powerful and everything like that. And, you know, you see her growth throughout the movie going from, you know, that sheltered warrior to adapting into the new world. And then you also get Steve Trevor's growth throughout the film. And then, you know, the couple of sidekicks that they have in the film as well. But Steve Trevor, he goes from, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, kind of a spy in the military. And then, you know, he's fighting alongside Diana, trying to improve the world and do what's right. You know, he even sacrifices himself. That is character development. That is the epitome of character development. You literally see these characters grow throughout a movie, and the progressions make sense.
Yeah.
See, that's why I feel like a lot of films really do struggle, is like they almost kind of time-lapse films in general speaking, where you almost don't get to see the character development or what really, you know, forced that change, but yet they've made the change.
Right.
So those are my grades, and for a grand total, it came out to my highest rated comic book movie of all time, 4.4666, repeating.
Yeah, and you'll kind of, when we do our other podcasts, you'll get an idea of where, you know, all these movies end up on our combined list once we talk about them. But
right.
Yes, essentially, you know, if you round a little bit, he gave it a 4.5 out of 5. And that is really high. So, what I gave Wonder Woman on a story, I gave it a 4.
Okay.
Same as you. No, you gave it a 5.
Yes.
I gave it a 4. Yes. I thought it was a very, very good story. I don't think it was perfect by any means, but what story is, for authenticity, I gave it a 4. Wonder Woman was, to me, the best thing DC has ever done as far as like the correct way, how correct she was as a character. I thought they did a phenomenal job. I thought that the Amazons were pretty spot on. Obviously there were some changes with Steve Trevor, which is fine. I think like they got the heart of his character for the most part. I mean, he's a little more abrasive in the comics and things like that, but
right.
Him and Wonder Woman get it on. So that's a thing.
Personal
enjoyment, I gave it a 5. I thoroughly enjoyed this film. For action, I gave it a 4. Great action. For CGI, I gave it a 3. Sorry, action, I gave it a 5. I read the wrong column. Action, I gave it a 5. I thought the action was actually really brilliant in this film. CGI, gave it a 3, which is pretty average, right? Because, like I said, some parts threw me out, some parts didn't. Comedy, I gave it a 4. I thought it was actually pretty funny for a film that takes place in World War I. I thought Steve Trevor was hilarious. Some of the comedy with his secretary was hilarious.
Right.
I thought they fit in a lot of comedy, and almost all of it landed well. Like, unlike Guardians 2, there was so much comedy, not all of it landed very well. I feel
right.
Like this film had less comedy, but it all landed very well. So I gave it a 4. Rewatchability, I gave a 4. I think it's very, very rewatchable. Obviously, I'll have to watch it again and again, maybe, to see if it loses anything on those rewatches. But I gave it a 4. And character development, I gave a 3. I thought it was pretty average for character development. I feel like Steve Trevor, I know you said, like, you know, he grew a lot. I feel like he grew a little. Like, the whole film, though, he was kind of, you know, well, we're all stuck in this kind of world, and we're all trying to make it a better place. And I don't think he ever changed. Obviously, his ultimate sacrifice, I don't know if the character at the beginning of the film necessarily would have been willing to sacrifice himself, but it seemed like he was. Obviously, he signed up for the military. He was a spy, all these things. But, you know, I think it was pretty average character development. My grand total for this film was 4.17 or 4.2, which is 0.3 less than Scott's. But, yes, thin margins at on the top of our list because of how good these films are. I, on my personal list, have it second. Scott will have a fun time having my life about this when we discuss it in our movie list discussion that we will ultimately have. But Wonder Woman is phenomenal. And I mean, before I saw the film, I knew it would probably be the best DC film to date. And yes, that includes The Dark Knight and Watchmen. It is better than those. But I didn't think it would be almost the best, and or arguably the best.
Right. I didn't think it was going to be that high up there. I figured it may crack our top 10, but I didn't think it was going to be this fucking good, man. This film has been just such a joy and such a surprise, and I would recommend it to anybody. If you're worried about, you know, I know a lot of people just absolutely cannot stand the feminism movement. And I feel like Wonder Woman is often tied with, you know, feminism and, you know, being, you know, girl power sort of deal. I don't feel that it was overbearing. There were a couple moments where, you know, it is what it is, but it almost really didn't really have anything to do with the gender so much as the time period and, you know, the assistant's job title and what she did.
Well, let's be fair. I'm a secretary. So, you know, like, I do feel like feminism isn't about putting men down, being better than men and things like that, which arguably Wonder Woman is. But technically, she's better than all women too, because she's a goddess. So, like,
correct.
It's not about that. And she never, like I said earlier, she never acts like she's better than anybody else, and she never puts anybody else down. And that is the core of feminism, is we're all equals, but we need, you know, we as a people need to stand together, and we need to fight against injustices and fight against all these other things, you know, to overcome them and be more equated as a people instead of separate. And, you know, we're better than you, or you're better than us. And I think that she is a feminist, but not in a negative sense of the word.
Right.
So, one thing that has come from this movie is another spur of DC fanboys or Marvel fanboys kind of fighting. We need to knock this stuff off. I think, like, it just makes us all look worse. Like, I love DC fans for the most part, and I think they're going to love this film for the most part. And I think it's so great that they finally get to enjoy something, but it doesn't mean you get to now all of a sudden come out and talk shit and say all Marvel movies are garbage. Like, That is not how this works. And Marvel fanboys, don't sit there and fucking cry because DC had a good film. Just, if you didn't like it, then you didn't like it. But, like, let's stop fucking fighting, guys. Like, it just makes us all look bad. I don't understand this whole, oh, Marvel fanboys are crying now. Fuck off, dude. Like,
I just think you just can't be asked with all, like, the arguments, but I thrive in the mix.
Like, I don't mind arguments. Like, I have a problem with arguments when it's like, you know, people are just butting heads and there's no overcoming it, you know? Like, I understand, like, you know, we have fun bantering people and just talking shit. Like, when arguments aren't serious, it's a lot of fun to me, you know? Yeah. But it's like, when it's like, people just say ridiculous things to get under your skin, I'm just like, I can't be asked with this shit.
Right.
Like, I think we've been guilty of it before, all the DC fanboys or whatever, but let's be honest, you're a DC fanboy.
Yep.
I'm a Marvel fanboy, but I'm also a DC fanboy. Like, I love a lot of DC characters. Like, I used to be more DC than I was Marvel.
DC forever, brother.
So, like, if you think it's an insult to call me a Marvel fanboy, well, you can eat my dick, because it's going to taste like the tears of you.
Gee, what?
I don't know.
Why'd you even like this? It's
fucking salty, bro. But yes, Wonder Woman, really fucking good. So go check it out if you haven't, and I hope we didn't spoil it for you.
Well, that's what the spoiler warning in the beginning was for, my friends. So, like we said before, we have two other podcasts coming out this weekend. Alongside this, it is going to be our regular podcast. We talk about nerdy news and the two-part finale of Gotham. And we'll also be talking about our movie list. That one shouldn't be, I don't feel like it should be too long. I probably figure, you know, 20, maybe 30-minute podcast on that one. We are still trying to get around to doing some more YouTube content. That will still be released at a further date. I don't want to promise anybody anything. We will get around to it when we are able to. You know, we both have very busy lives. But other than that, make sure you guys are following us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We even have a Snapchat account. Go check out our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Created by this guy next to me, Christian himself. No way.
Oh, me?
Who, me? Yeah, it's a pretty great website, guys, so make sure you guys go check it out. If you guys disagreed with any of our comments, or you felt we were too harsh on something, Christian CGI, or if you felt it was too generous, so
Scott on everything.
What? Fuck off, all right? Fuck yourself, okay? Just go do one, mate.
Thanks. Real quick shout out. Thanks to Gary Lee for helping Scott with this computer and also for purchasing one of our t-shirts. He had me special order him one. He paid me for it, which was very nice. He didn't have to do that, but he paid me back what I paid. He looks great in it. So if you guys want to see how awesome he looks when he met his idol Scott here, check out our Instagram page. It's right there. So, and just a very sad goodbye to Adam West.
That belongs in the news section, Christian.
Yes, it does. But it belongs here, too. He deserves all of our respect on all of our podcasts, okay?
I agree.
So, rest in peace, my friend. We are good pals. So,
we love you, Adam West.
Yeah, that is going to wrap us up on Wonder Woman. Like Scott said, let us know what you liked, didn't like. Give us a review on our iTunes page, please.
Please. All right, guys, that's all we got for you on the Wonder Woman Review Podcast. We are host. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we always leave you with one simple message, and that's
stay nerdy, boys.